That's what I heard, yeah. Is there, before we get started, is there a meeting tomorrow during the day that will need to gavel in this? The reason is, I was wondering if I could borrow this for...
I don't know.
You don't know?
Let me see. Probably not.
Because my son's high school is doing a mock government thing, and my son's the mayor, and he doesn't have a gavel, so I thought I'd take a gavel and I'll bring it back tomorrow about 4 o'clock.
Can I look on the calendar? I don't remember if any committee meets tomorrow.
Daytime.
And would,
yeah, I could have that.
And would they need the gavel?
No, the gavel's everything.
Could they not do, you know, without it for what?
It's like putting a sword in your hand. It kind of gives you this extra feeling.
I know, it does.
Here we go. Here's a spare. Come on up.
Oh, excellent. All right.
Oh, good.
Oh, my gosh.
The only reason I brought that up is, well, it sits back there and never gets used. I've just been terrified.
If that one lives, that's lost.
Yeah.
I'll take this one, but, you know, give this to high school kids. And you're going to read something in the newspaper.
I read today where a kid got suspended in seventh grade. 7 years old got suspended for making a handgun out of his Pop-Tart.
Pop-Tart, yeah.
Isn't that actually what somebody used?
I know,
and they
really.
Suspended for it.
That is. It could be a weapon.
Did they actually use this?
Not at all. I don't know when it was ever used.
That's stifling as a creative.
This brass.
It's a huge thing. How
substantial.
Yeah, really.
I'll check the schedule. You need to do that. That's fine. I don't see why you should. It'll do.
I mean, I'm just afraid that would hurt somebody. Or hurt a desk. I just see my son going, bam!
And break something.
So that'll be $100 damage for each one of them. I'll take this if you worry about that.
Let me just see what the schedule is. I don't know anything tomorrow.
That's pretty, okay. Well, which one shall I hit? I'll hit this one. We'll call the board for the March 5th meeting of the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. I guess we've noted that one of our members, Alan, will not be here tonight. And we still have a vacancy, so we do have a quorum. Approval of the agenda is an item on the agenda here. So is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
Yes, sir.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Approval of minutes, February 5th, 2013. Tom, didn't you have some changes or somebody had some changes?
That was on the agenda.
What was that?
That was on the agenda, I believe.
Yeah, it was just in.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. We got a little typo on there.
I fixed that.
That's on.
Yeah, when you. Yep.
Okay, we have proposed new verbiage approved by motion and vote January 9th, 2013 to be presented to town council. Let me just get a little straight. First of all, we were going to have a discussion of what the consistency statement should look like.
Correct.
Because this agenda item is a consistency statement for a recommendation that we make.
Correct.
So what we should do is pull in our...
And that
well,
was
up front,
that,
a discussion of what our consistency
right.
statement
and that was
like.
Provided, that sample was provided by Nancy Avery.
Okay.
She also provided a like narrative where it would be paragraphs. This seemed to be the simpler of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a suggested form that is used, I believe, by Wrightsville Beach or New Hanover County. So, you know, it is an approved, it's short version. It will take very little to fill it out, just check off, but then you'll be in compliance because you do have to submit that to council when you want something amended.
Okay. What I want to do is add to the agenda on old business then, I guess should have done this on the approval of the agenda. In fact, I thought that's what 8 was, is approval of the consistency, the wording of the consistency statement. So we're going to have that discussion first, and then we'll come to what we have as 8. So our old business A is going to be approval of the consistency statement.
Right.
Format.
Right.
All right, so that's what we're talking about now. So is there any discussion of the proposed Planning and Zoning Commission consistency statement, format and language?
Clear thing. Straightforward. Functional, works.
Okay. All right, is there a motion to adopt the proposed Planning and Zoning Commission consistency statement as the format for our consistency statement?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, now we come to A, which is a consistency statement in compliance for the proposed new verbiage approved by motion and vote January 9th of 2013. Which is having to do with the home businesses, I believe it is, we have a little more specific, but it had to do with changing the parking spaces from a specific number to parking spaces in addition to residential requirements as per approval of the building inspector. Okay. So, since that's what we approve, what we have to do now is fill out the consistency statement for that proposal.
Correct.
I filled out a sample,
but Joe had some grammatical changes that he had suggested, and you said that it would be discussed at the meeting.
We should have that discussion.
Yeah, and that was just a sample. I just kind of arbitrarily, when I was brain dead one afternoon, filled it in. But just to give you an idea of what you probably need to include, when you're filling it out, the purpose or what your reasons are, and you can come up with, whatever reasons you had for approving that and passing that amendment.
So I was getting confused. Who had recommendations about?
I had.
You had recommendations. Okay, okay.
Yeah, I was just tweaking the sample language.
All right. Would you like to read what you feel should be the sample language for this, or the approved language?
I guess the order doesn't really matter.
Okay, so it'd be the checking of the third and fourth box.
Correct.
And the section under the third box is
19-339.
It's Article 4, Section 19-339,
5 and 6.
Parenthesis 5 and parenthesis 6. And then under the Planning and Zoning considers its recommendation be reasonable and in public interest based upon the following. The first is allows greater control of parking requirements in future mixed-use district. And then the second will afford building inspector discretion regarding
parking space
requirements depending on the type of home occupation and professional office use. Okay.
So if you will fill that in and sign it before you leave,
right.
I can take that and submit it so council will have that.
Right. So according to this, you have to read it into the record as a motion.
Yes.
It's got to be seconded. That's why I want to read it.
Exactly.
Okay. Seconded and voted upon. So is there a motion to approve the language for the consistency statement for our approval of motion for residential or home businesses on January 9th, 2013.
So moved.
Okay, so a second.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So I will fill this out. Okay. If you want to fill it out, I'll sign it.
Sure.
So here. All right. Next item is the K Avenue Mixed Use Overlay District. I believe on this discussion we invited our attorney to be present and chat about issues. So, well, again, hello. We haven't chatted for a while. I think last time I saw you, you hit a deer or something like that.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I how familiar are you with this discussion?
I read through the minutes, and I've read the draft of the, this draft from the February meeting. I do have some thoughts.
Let's make sure we're all on the same page. Again, I came straight from the meeting, so I don't have any hard copy. The draft that we proposed last time, I don't think we... Well, what was our official motion last month? Was it just to table this for discussion?
Come up with a draft. That is your first draft.
The first draft. Okay, but we didn't make a motion on this other than for draft discussion. Okay.
That's just the first draft taken from the minutes, and then you can revise it, add to it, or whatever. We'll do a second draft, or however many times you want to draft it, and then you can have a final approval. But that's the very first draft, just taken from your minutes.
Okay, so kind of a little bit of the history of this and why we're here is that probably about a year ago, when I was presenting to the council a recommendation on something completely different, the mayor reminded me that actually in our land use plan, that there was some statement and some language regarding examining potential mixed use for K Avenue. And it is in there. I forget exactly what page it's on there. So he specifically directed us with approval of the town council to investigate that. We spent probably about 6 to 9 months looking at a lot of different ways of writing this. And, just spent a lot of time talking about this. And we decided that the best way to do it is a little more flexible. Some cities have 30 pages of definitions and architectural schemes and a whole bunch of stuff related to that. We found one or two that actually only had a couple sentences, that gave a tremendous amount of flexibility. So what we did is we came up with this proposal as an overlay zone. Now, this is actually based upon also, I skipped a step there. After we had spent a couple months, I went back to the council and talked about the two different proposals, one which would be a rezoning, basically, and another would be an overlay district that would allow this type of flexibility within it. So the council's recommendation, and, I think because of lack of interest in all the legal issues related to zoning, or rezoning, as well as the flexibility, is that they wanted to take this particular approach. So this is actually what we came up with. And so that's kind of the short history of why we're here. So, comments?
Well, I guess, one thought I had is with regard to overlays. Like, in my mind, an overlay is a pretty simple concept, generally. The textbook overlay scenario is, you have a zoning district, and then in a certain area, you want to add additional restrictions. I know in New Hanover, they were looking at doing an overlay along Carolina Beach Road. I know they have some others. That was one of them.
And I think Wilmington has a couple. I think Wrightsville Beach has an overlay. Southport has an overlay. Yeah.
And so really, it's in a way, their restrictions, they could have applied to the whole zone, but they just don't. That for whatever reason, there's some reason that, like additional setbacks, sign, perhaps smaller signs. I know along some stretches that was a concern in Wilmington and parts of the county. In this particular corridor, we're going to reduce the size of the signs. And so, in a way, the application is the same as all the other zoning requirements for a certain district, except you have a little bit of a longer checklist for that district. And I guess the main thing about it is, at least from my experience, it's not a discretionary thing, like a special use permit. It's something where, there would be additional requirements that John would have to make sure are met but either they're met or they're not met. And I guess I'm, you know, would contrast that with...
So you're saying it's more black and white, the gray area is very black and white.
Right, right. You know, I mean, if you say this is an overlay district and it has these additional requirements, then they need to be set out clearly enough that either they're met or they're not met, and they're as opposed to a special use permit where there's a little more discretion and you have a review process, and you know there might be a little more room for aesthetics to play into it, or you know, is it you know, is the traffic going to be impacted in such a negative way as to, you know, there's a little bit of a health and welfare analysis sometimes in special use permits because, you know, there's a little bit of discretion there. So I guess that would be the one thing, because I think there was some discussion, I don't see it necessarily in this draft, but maybe there was some in the minutes about, you know, that it would start out with a staff review and then there would be an appeal maybe to this board and then to the council. And I would see it more like it's an administrative determination whether it's met or not met, and then whether the conditions are met, and then you might have an appeal about whether that's right, or more like almost like a, not like a variance, but it would go up as an appeal, just like, you know, Board of Adjustment type appeal. So that would be, you know, kind of my only observation, you know, and that, you know, a petition would ordinarily just include a showing that they've met all the black-white aspects, you know, of the overlay, you know, almost really like a checklist.
Well, I think what you're arguing is for the 20-page overlay, then. I mean, because what I'm hearing, and again, we've looked at a lot of different ones in North Carolina, and they vary tremendously. But what you're saying is that the recommendation is that we would look at the things that we kind of talk about within the site plan. The lighting details, the locational height dimension of both signs, you know, some sort of buffering and screening, landscaping, all that sort of thing. But rather than just keeping it discretionary, that would be presented to us, you know, first to the building inspector, then to us, and then to the council, and there'd be a discretion related to we like it, we don't like it, or approve this. What you're suggesting is that we would need to have detail on each one of those categories so that if we're satisfied, it's kind of an automatic sort of thing.
Right. Well, I guess it just depends what you want to do, because I think the one place you could get into trouble, I guess is what I'm saying, is if you call it an overlay, but in effect it's a special use permit. Because an overlay, if you look at 90% of the other overlays, they're just additional zoning requirements. They're, you know, most of the time it's you know, additional vegetative buffer requirements, additional, you know, further setbacks from the road. You know, specific additional requirements that are either met or not met for an overlay.
Because what we're doing with the overlay, that specific is the use. Okay, we're specific about the use because we're allowing like light retail, like food service, you know, that sort of thing. But we're not specific in terms of the architectural issues, the landscaping issues, the signage issues, the setback requirements, you know, the elevation, the picture of the elevations and all that sort of thing. So, you know, I think this is probably pretty important because if your recommendation is that we need that, then we need to do a lot more work, you know, bottom line.
I understand. I mean, I think, I'm afraid that it, and it can, it's been done, but it's risky if you're, in a way, creating a new zoning animal, so to speak. And I think that if you do an overlay, but it really has this discretionary, you know, consideration that, you know, you would be kind of charting uncharted territory. And, you know, that's just risky, you know, because the courts are going to say, well, if it's an overlay, it should be like this. If know, if it's a special use, it should be like this.
Okay.
Well, I would think. I guess you know, in a short version, if you're going to do something more like this, that perhaps the your permissible uses would be done, or you just make some selection of uses and say we're going to do those as a special use permit, and then this would be exactly the kind of criteria you'd apply, to.
One of the problems we have with the overlay is that when you actually look at the zoning in that area, it's not the zoning map, and it probably shouldn't have been done this way when it was done 40 years ago, but the zoning map is done street to street rather than adjacent properties to like the commercial street. So the actual zoning that this overlay would apply to extends beyond the overlay. It actually extends not only K, but the properties behind K on both sides. And obviously, if we're talking about a mixed-use overlay, we just want it on the adjacent properties. So the only real special use permit probably wouldn't work in this case because special use permits would apply to the whole zoning district.
That's generally true. I mean, I don't know if there's a way to limit it.
It would have to be an overlay district where you'd have a special use permit applied to, but that's kind of what we've done already here.
That is a good point. I think just about everyone I would have seen on special use permits apply to a whole zone.
Right.
Otherwise, you probably have problems with spot zoning or something like that to say, the part of this zone that's actually this.
Right. And so that's why we're thinking
overlay,
so we can kind of slice up the zoning districts, to where we want to have that mixed use sort of thing. But if it's your recommendation, and certainly this is, I'm the only person up here, but it's your recommendation that we need to have more specificity in terms of what we're trying to do in terms of, again, the landscaping, signage, parking, all those sort of things. Then clearly we've got to go back to the drawing board and look at all that stuff.
But is it really necessary to define it that specifically in order for council to decide whether they like it or not, whether they're going to approve it or not? Because the initial thing, using Southport as an example, Southport has like three sentences. Mm-hmm. And they've had half a dozen or more successful mixed-use projects. I think it's been up to the their town council then to put any additional requirements, case by case.
Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what he's warning against.
So is there any way that you could do a minimum requirement and move forward with that? Or is that all together? For instance, when this ordinance is drawn up, it basically says all other ordinances that relate to zoning are pertinent as a minimum.
Maybe this is a good thing that we're in no real hurry for this. It's not like we have to prove this tonight. What might be useful is to give you some of the examples or references. We got the Southport example. Alan's got the one. Where did we find that real, only two sentences?
That was the one near your home, right?
West Jefferson.
Then I've got one which is 20 pages long and everything like that. And they're all within North Carolina. Is maybe we should send you, a couple links of the ones that we've kind of thought about that are local. Give you maybe a month to do a little bit of research on this. Because if you come back and you say that, we really need to have much more specificity than we have here, so it's more of a checklist sort of thing, then that's going to add several more months of work to us. And, I don't think we have a problem with that. But if we don't need to do it, and this is sufficient from a legal point of view, then I think the general feeling is we'd rather go with this type of discretion built into the ordinance.
Okay. And I did look, I think you mentioned in the minutes, maybe Garner, was it Garner that it was...
Tim Driver Garner.
There's several ones. And that would give you, now that you know kind of the major issues and where we're coming from, that would give you about a month to maybe do a little bit of research.
That would be fine. Because I didn't want to do too much of that before I knew where, kind of what the background was.
But our primary concerns are, in fact, you know, if we're going to have a mixed use and someone's going to put like a coffee shop or a museum or a art gallery, not a museum, but an art gallery or something like that, we want to make sure it works with the residential neighbors. We want to make sure it looks not just like a commercial district, but truly a mixed use type of activity, very light type of commercial activity that would fit within a residential district. And you know, how to do that, you know, we were kind of working on the idea of discretion, but if discretion is not the way to go, then we're going to have to write that into, you know, the specificity of what things need to look like.
Okay,
that,
I'm happy to
do
that.
Yeah, and I think some of the discussion was not to be so overbearing, because the land use plan in particular wants to encourage it.
Yeah.
And so if we've got 20 pages, that's probably going to discourage most small business owners from tackling a project like that. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance there somewhere to give the information somebody's needed to get it across John's desk and move through the process, but also protect the town.
But we are, I mean, we want to do this right, because it's, you know, it, once we get to a point where we're going to have a public hearing, I'm sure we're going to have a number of people here expressing concerns. So we have to make sure that, you know, from your perspective, that we've got everything in order and everything written out before we start to present to the public and so forth.
Is one of the problems with doing it like zone-wide that you just wouldn't want some of these uses in other parts of the zone?
Well, the interesting thing is when you actually look at our zoning, a lot of these uses are allowed in resident. I'm pretty stunned at the way our zoning is, you know, when you actually investigate it. One, the way the map is drawn. The second thing is that in residential areas, you can put a school. You know, you can put a museum. You can put a lot of stuff that, in fact, probably shouldn't be a residential zone. And it is allowed under zoning. So what we've done right here is actually when you look at 1, 2, 3, and 4, those are already allowed within the zoning for those areas. I mean, it's only 5 that we added. Okay. You know, but 5 is actually what we want to have there.
The main reason we've gone down K Avenue is that's what the land use plan has asked for.
And the mayor wants us to look at it in a very aggressive way.
So the only thing you'd be adding is 5.
Really only 5, because already 1 through 4 is there. Yeah. One of the issues that I think we need to bring up to the council and point out is they may not realize it. So far we don't have any problems, but it just takes one person to create a problem, is that you know, somebody could put a school, and school is not defined really other than school by the SIC code. You could put some very interesting schools right smack in a residential road, right across there. I mean, HOA might prevent it, but from the zoning, it wouldn't be prevented. Yeah, my wife's talking about opening a massage school. So.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking, because if this is a broader possibility than I think on that overlay, then that probably would be simpler. But I'm just thinking, like, with a special use permit, you would be able to restrict, you know, by the conditions, you know, that light retail and light food, so that, you know, maybe with in the back of your mind as you're drafting it, that you don't really want it necessarily anywhere but K.
Right.
And so, the restrictions could be drawn to where...
Well, the light retail and light food service, it doesn't appear in any other residential zoning. A lot of 1 through 4, and the interesting thing is when you look at R1, R2, or R2A and all these sort of things, some of them have 1 through 4, some of them have 1 to 2, some of them have 1, 2, and 3. It's really kind of a mix of things. And I personally would recommend that the council might charge us to kind of clean that up. Because I, for the life of me, cannot see why you would have number 2, colleges, schools, public libraries, public museums, art galleries, and other public buildings in a residential zone, personally.
Maybe kind of see about phasing some of that out.
Yeah. But then that's a bigger thing. But then this becomes more, because if you phase it out of the other zones, including the non-overlay part of the same zone, then you're allowing it where we'd want to have it, which is in the mixed-use K Avenue corridor. So that's kind of the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, what's the opinion of the members then to have council come back and do some thinking about this. And maybe each one of us send an email to Mr. Holt about doing this.
Yeah, I would support that. I'm just leery of producing something that's that thick. I like the initial approach we're taking of keep it simple, keep it understandable, to encourage it for the land use plan.
But if it opens us up for litigation or problems, you know, then we got to be careful about that too.
I can definitely, do the research with an eye towards finding something as, functional and small as possible.
Because you're going to see a lot of variation across North Carolina from, again, two sentence, three sentence mixed use overlay to 20 page, very detailed overlay. So, whatever your recommendation is, we will follow as our attorney, as our counsel to this. Okay. Is there a motion to table this discussion until our next meeting?
Motion.
Okay, second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. New business. Any new business? Hearing none. Next item is member items. Follow up on the vacancy. I guess we have a meeting, council meeting, March 19th, and you're going to be interviewing people?
Yes.
Okay.
Three people, actually.
All right, good. Mm-hmm. And then last one, discussion regarding requesting attorney presence at meetings. Last time we had a bit of a discussion as to, remember when we started, you were at every meeting? Okay, and a lot of the meetings, actually this is a pretty long one tonight, half an hour. some of our meetings after we got over through signs and some other stuff have been relatively short. And so the question is what the general feeling was about having you here all the time or on special requests, like what we're doing right now or what.
We have been known to have meetings for 5 minutes.
Yes.
We wouldn't want to waste your evening by coming all the way down here.
Right.
Well, I know, when I ceased coming every time, that the thought was it would be on kind of a case-by-case basis. And it's y'all's call. I'm happy to come regardless. I won't be upset if I come and it's...
Well, it's billable time, too.
For a short period. It'll be helpful for me to be here a little more frequently because, it's a little tricky to get up to speed, It's late in the process on some of this.
Well, we should have had, it was something this important. We probably should have had you come a little bit earlier to get involved. On some of the stuff that we do, we just don't have a lot going on. But certainly when we talk about mixed-use overlay and change zoning and stuff like that and maybe pulling out some uses out of the existing zoning, that's stuff that, we would need some recommendations on. So
probably would help if you'd been at the workshop and then the meeting right after that as we've set the direction we're taking.
So, but I would say, given that we really don't have a whole lot more on our plate right now that we've been charged to do, and I don't think we have any big projects coming through or anything like that. This is pretty much what we're doing. So I would say, just come next month and then, we'll see next month whether it makes the sense to come the month afterwards and that sort of thing. Because this is really what we're doing right now, I think, of any significance.
Yeah, that works for me. Because I do know there's sometimes, there's just not a lot of need for attorney insight, and I don't want to come down here and just sit solid and bill and won't be useful.
Okay. All right, excellent. Is there any other items by the commission members?
No.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 One thing just kind of off the record, I guess, on the consistency statement, do you not need to check that first box each time that says it's consistent with the land use plan? I kind of caught the tail end of that, but I wasn't sure if that's supposed to be.
Depends. Depends what you're promoting.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, we can check, but then we would just check it all the time, basically.
Why wouldn't you send something forward that would not be consistent?
Well, yeah, I guess you always say it's consistent because it's not inconsistent. Mm-hmm. I mean, this doesn't address, I mean, there's nothing in the land use plan that this really addresses, but it's not inconsistent. So I guess we could say it's consistent. I'll check it.
Yeah, it's not specific to a section.
Yeah.
It's contrary to anything that's in there.
Yeah, and because it's not inconsistent, it has to be consistent. So, good point.